Paul's letter to the Romans is all about the righteousness of God and His plan of salvation to redeem mankind from sin. The book of Romans is about justification by faith for everyone, Jew and Gentile, everyone. And then Paul concludes the letter in chapters 14 and 15 and 16 with how the Jews and Gentiles are to come together as one spiritual family. Paul spends time in chapter 14 and 15 down through verse 9 speaking of the relationship that we have for each other as Christians, as a church family. Particularly he deals with how the more mature, the stronger the relationship they have toward the immature, toward the weaker members of the church family. Now, because they're stronger or more mature, does it make them more of a Christian? It doesn't make them more saved. Perhaps it makes them a little more responsible to the others. But then he deals with the behavior of all of us toward everyone else. Paul begins our text today by saying, accept. Accept him or her whose faith is weak. Notice, without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now, this word in the Greek language, the NIV translates it accept, the King James Version translates it receive, the RSV translates it welcome. But it refers in this context to welcoming, to accepting, to receiving someone into our fellowship and just accept them without stipulations, without conditions, without qualifiers. Just accept them. In chapter 14, verses 2 through 5, Paul uses two examples of different disputable matters. He's going to give us an example, just a couple of many that are what he's talking about. Example number one. Some of you Romans are vegans. That's okay. Some of you are omnivores. You'll eat anything. I qualify for that. Now, you may think that being a vegan is silly. And he's going to say, God does not think it's silly. He's accepted both of you. If God has accepted both of you, then who are you to judge the preference of another as unacceptable? God has accepted them. You are not the master of the other. God is. Your obligation is to accept them. Example number two. Some of you consider that there are religious holidays. Others of you think that there are no special religious holidays. It's okay to think differently. If you honor God with your special day, then that's awesome. But if you don't have a special mark on that calendar, on your calendar for that day, then honor God on that day in your own way. But honor God. Let's bring it forward. It's not so much true today as it used to be, but some people think that Christmas is a big deal for Christians. And some people think that it shouldn't be celebrated as a religious observance. There's no right or wrong here. There is only honor God in your practice. Honor God with your unity. Honor God with your acceptance. Accept one another without regard to these kinds of things. He says in verse 5, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. That is, don't force on what I'm going to call this morning your secondary beliefs on anyone. It's okay if you choose to believe what you believe, but don't bind that on others. It's a secondary belief. Secondary beliefs are the ideologies that you may hold that aren't spoken of in Scripture. But it become, because of culture or tradition or historical and ethnic contexts, etc., something that you have come to feel better about. And it may lead to a divergent view with someone else who may think differently. These views are not doctrinal, but we have connected them to our faith. And we all have these personal contexts. We all do. You have them, I have them. They're just a part of our life. But listen, when it comes to how we feel about others, we have to understand that Jesus is bigger than that. He's broader than that. He's deeper than that. He's higher than that. It's a personal belief, and we have to remember the personal aspect of it. The person sitting next to you may have a different personal context, but they're still your brother. They're still your sister. Accept them. The more mature Christian will have learned to set aside personal views for the sake of family fellowship. In fact, in my book, this is a big indicator of maturity when we're willing to do that. Our differing views are not to be allowed to sever or even hinder the Christian family connection. And we're not to be a sourpuss about it. I don't know if you know what I mean by that. Cheryl said, you think people will know what you mean when you say sourpuss? Well, the older folks do. When we accept people, we don't say, I accept you, but, well, reluctantly. And I accept you because I have to. I accept you because that's what Jesus says. Listen, Jesus is bigger than that. Your faith in Him has to be bigger than that. It seems it's not wrong to have these secondary kinds of views. But it is clearly, Paul says, wrong to bind these secondary views on others. There are many modern parallels. Some are what I'm going to call individual choices. Some are differences where we have to try to find a compromise. And some are of the nature where someone is going to have to concede or yield. One of these differences, and again, it's less obvious than it used to be, for instance, is in what different people deem as proper attire for worship. Is it a suit or is it casual? What Romans 14 and 15 is saying is, take the word, when we talk about proper attire, take the word proper out of the equation. There is no proper attire. There is no scripture regarding anything beyond, if you want to use the Bible, anything beyond modesty and pride. It is a secondary belief. But it's obviously a real belief for some of us. But it's also not a book, chapter, and verse belief. When God doesn't define what proper is, we have to be very careful about what we define proper as. We're told here that it is an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing for you personally to honor God in the way that you feel honors Him best for you. It honors Him. Honor Him. Go ahead. But we're also told that it's not okay for us to require others to honor our secondary beliefs about a number of things, but appearance might be one of them. And these, what I'm calling secondary beliefs, are never to be tests of fellowship. They're never to be allowed to become problems for family unity. In fact, when Paul says each one of us should be fully convinced in our own mind, he's saying it's okay for you to believe it for yourself, but keep it to yourself. It's in your own mind. 14:22 says, keep this stuff between you and God. Okay? The key word in this entire text, we could say the key word in both of these chapters, chapter 14 and 15, the words are accept one another. We don't have the option of continuing to honor God and not accepting one another. The fact is, the strongest, most mature among us are given specific instruction. Chapter 15, look at it, verses 1 and 2. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. It's not the secondary belief that is the failing. We all have those. But it is immature to regard another's belief as somehow less than ours. That's what he's saying. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good to build them up. Verse 7. Accept one another then, and here's the level. Just as Christ accepted you, accept them in order to bring praise to God. Well, this is don't miss this, folks. Acceptance equals Praise to God. We think about the praise that we give God in our singing and our prayers, the praise we give God and thanks in the Lord's Supper. Your acceptance is praise to God. People, it seems, like to draw lines. But we have to be careful of drawing lines that God does not Himself draw, that become where we try to move something secondary into a primary belief. I also mention differences where the family, in the family environment, there has to be concession. Somebody has to say, I yield. Let me give you an example. I prefer that the Lord's Supper be more spiritually obvious and less physically obvious. It's just a preference. It's a secondary belief of mine that I think the mechanics of it all ought to be as invisible as possible so that we can focus on what's really important. So, it would be my preference to have this table at the back of the auditorium somewhere. But, here's the thing. It can't be both ways, can it? And for consistency's sake, it doesn't need to be here one Sunday and back there the next Sunday. So there must be, from my point of view, concession, so I can see that unity is far more valuable than where that is. Okay? And from my point of view, that concession honors God. It's a form of praise to God. Other things, on the other hand, require compromise. Some of us like to sing the old standard hymns. Okay? If it was good enough for Moses to sing in the wilderness with the Israelites, it's good enough for us to sing today, right? Some of us may think that, well, Stan sang a lot of new songs a while ago. Some of those songs are not exactly new. Some of them are 30, 40, 50 years old. Some of us like the older standard hymns, and that's wonderful, that's fine. Some of us like the more contemporary selections, and that's good as well. Guess what our songbooks and our electronic programs back there have both. A great selection of both. So it honors God, folks. It honors God, not just that we are singing, but also that we're willing to compromise and sing with enthusiasm the songs that we know cheers the heart of others in our church family. With enthusiasm. We talked about spiritual fervor last week from Romans chapter 12. It doesn't matter if you sing well or if you can't get it to go forward, Caleb. It doesn't matter if you sing well or if it sounds like you're singing in a well. Your enthusiasm honors God more than your ability to sing. You ever thought about that? Your spirit that is voicing these words, these beautiful words of praise and glory and encouragement, your spirit is more important than your ability to carry a tune. When we honor each other, it's just like we were getting out a basin of water and a towel and washing each other's feet. Honor one another above yourselves. Romans 12:10 we read last week. You know, I know that some of you, well, I don't know, but it may be the case that some of you might think that, oh no, the Lord's army again? That's what this is talking about. Do you know how much joy it gives this morning, two young men to stand up here and see you marching in the infantry and riding in the cavalry and shoot the artillery? Do you know what it does for their heart? How much joy it gives them to look out at all of you and the experience that it gives them? Do you know, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. They love that stuff. They love to move. They love to work movements in the songs. And that may be more cardio than you've had all week, but they love it. It gives them joy. And on your part, it gives praise to God when your focus is on their joy and their growth and their spirit. Don't say, I wish we wouldn't sing those old songs, or I wish we wouldn't sing those new songs. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, some Sundays, like today, we sing more of the new ones. Some, like next Sunday, we may sing more of the old ones. They may be different mixes at different times. We literally give God a double honor when we sing with spiritual fervor, with joy, the songs that we know encourage others. It gives God honor, number one, in the song itself, and it gives God honor, number two, in singing to encourage others and bring joy to others. In chapter 14, in verse 10, it says, "Don't look down on your brother or sister in any way, from any position." When we look down on our brother or sister, we have put ourselves, we have elevated ourselves to a place that only God belongs in. His judgment is all that matters. So lest we think that we're somehow above others, just remember, and he says it, Paul says it here, you will stand before God, we will all stand before God and give an account of ourselves to Him someday. 14:19. Therefore, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And the word mutual here is so important. But the word mutual is not going to matter if you don't really understand the word accept. Because mutual depends upon that. Everybody accepting everyone else. We've talked about how we dress. We've talked about communion tables. We've talked about songs. But apply this belief to all those secondary, apply this teaching to all of those secondary beliefs. I've worked with a number of churches over the last 35 plus years. And it seems like people had more secondary beliefs than they did primary beliefs. And it was always the secondary beliefs that caused the disunity. And Romans 14 and 15 deals with that if we will just listen to what God, through the Apostle Paul, is saying. The only solution is to honor one another and to accept one another. And the only way we can do that is to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. In order to accept people as Christ has accepted us, we are told, as we're told to do in chapter 15, verse 7, we must love each other, as we're told to do in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. One last part of this last verse here in Romans 14, 19 and 20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of, and you fill in the blank. What do you deem worthy of doing this? I hope nothing. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of something that ultimately He hasn't spoken to and ultimately is your personal view about something. Now, we hold dear those teachings of God that are supposed to be our primary beliefs. But this, you know, Paul is talking to Roman Christians about, you know, there's this dichotomy between the Jews and the Gentiles, and he's trying to bring them together. But it works for us today too, because we're so different in our culture today. That's okay to be different. But do not destroy the work of God for the sake of those things that ultimately aren't going to matter on the day of judgment. Right? Well, it's time to stop. And I'm done. God bless you. I love you, my church family. You all mean so much to me.